Well, friends, good morning. And we are back looking at Mark chapter 8 and asking the question, how does Jesus teach that Christians should live so that they can glorify God? And remember, Mark's gospel is written to Christians who were suffering for their faith. Some were put to death. History tells us that about 100,000 Christians were put to death in the city of Rome at this time. So suffering, being thrown to the lions, crucifixions, burned alive. Terrible, terrible sufferings. And the fact is that you and I shrink away from suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. But Jesus knew that he had to suffer in many ways, not just the cross, but humiliation, rejection, denial, loneliness, weakness, deserted by his disciples, falsely accused, all of that. All of that was awaiting him, and he knew that from the scriptures. But he was able to say in John chapter 17 and verse 4, pray. And say, Father, I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. Jesus obeyed his Father. And he wants Christians to be like him. God the Father wants us to be like Jesus. 34, verse 34 to 38. First we pray, then we get to the text. Our God and Father, please help us to understand your word, to desire it, not just for knowledge, although that's a great thing, but to want to know you, the living God, what you are like, what your will is, so that we may live for you, walk with you in this world, and enjoy you in eternal glory to come. Be our teacher. So here's this challenging section. Jesus says, verse 34, calling his disciples, the crowd, sorry, to him, with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, just note the word anyone, that's everybody. There are no exceptions. Ministers, leaders of big churches, small churches, ordinary Christians, new Christians, teenage Christians, children Christians, adults, young, old adults, all of us. If anybody, verse 35, whoever would save his life, whoever loses his life, verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me. There are no exclusions to this. No bishop, no prophet, so-called, no elder, no leader of a Bible school, no Christian writer, no gospel celebrity, singer. There are no exceptions. Not me, not you. What does Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, follow me, and that's what it is. It is coming after Jesus. He's gone before. We follow him. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Three steps. Deny yourself. That is, put God's will and word before what is easiest or nicest for you or what you want. Jesus did exactly that. He denied himself, left the glory of heaven, came to this world. And we praise God because of that. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. The only people in those days who took up their cross were those who were going, they were carrying the cross beam, and they were going to go and be crucified. Nobody did it for fun. If you saw somebody carrying their cross beam, you know they're going to be dead soon. They wouldn't be there tomorrow. Their corpse would be there, but that would be it. They would have died. their life would have been over. And what he's saying is, using that image, and he went and he literally picked up his cross. And you knew he's going to go and die. And that's what he did. As an aside here, do you have a cross as jewelry? You need to be careful of that. I'm not saying it's wrong. But it worries me when... And you, the cross is a horrible thing and a wonderful thing. We thank God for the cross because on it Jesus died. He shed his lifeblood. He was put to death for us. So we glory in the cross on one side, but the cross is a symbol of death to self. Deny yourself. It's a symbol. When Jesus picked up his crossbeam, he was saying, I am going to do the Father's will, no matter what. Hey, how about that? And follow me. Okay, there we go. I can't really ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you'd been a Christian, would you have been standing next to Jesus with your own crossbeam? Or would you have been like Peter, run away? That's a hard question to ask. Let's forget that question. But here's the issue. Are you one of those who would come after Christ? Are you living now today in denying yourself? Have you taken up figuratively your cross, and are you following Jesus? Here's the test. 35, for whoever would save his life, that is, save it from suffering and embarrassment, you're going to lose it, Jesus says. Whoever would save his life will lose it, because if that's the way you think, you're going to turn away at the moment that suffering comes for obedience. But whoever loses his life for my sake doesn't mean die. It means they've given, that's the self-denial. They deny themselves. And they're saying, Lord, my life is now yours. Show me how you can, I can do your will, so that at the end I will be able to say, Father, I have sought to do your will on earth. That's what a Christian is. I'm tempted to say that the bigger and more successful and the more wealthy and powerful a church is, the less its leaders are examples of this kind of living. I saw a headline the other day, how much pastors earn. And this is America. You know, frankly, I think that's a disgrace. Because I look at Jesus, and I think of him, and I think of Paul making tents to earn money and accepting gifts so he could go and live and put Christ first. Now, we don't have to do exactly that, but there must be the rule in our lives, self-denial. I cannot, I must not compromise my faith. I must stand true and I must face up with God's strength to whatever the cost is. But Jesus then puts this question, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? You know, there's no in between here. He doesn't talk about half obedience. He's pressing the point and we must feel the weight of that. Most people, never mind the whole world, they just want, you know, they just want to be more. They just want more. He's saying, your eternal soul is worth more than all the material goods and success and glamour and riches of this world. I tell you, folks, This is a challenging thing. And then he says, what can a man give in return for his soul? And what he's teaching us is the supreme eternal, sorry, I'm getting a bit excited here. He's teaching us the supreme and eternal value of the human soul. In Mark chapter 9, he's going to talk about heaven and hell. And he's going to talk about hell as the place where the fire doesn't go out and the worm is not quenched. It is a scary picture. I take it Jesus didn't lie, and that hell is really worth avoiding. And there are not three roads: the committed to Christ road, the non-Christian road, and then the road in the middle for just your quiet Christian who just cruises through life and avoids being radical about anything. I'm not calling for us to be radical. I'm just calling for us to obey Jesus. Verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, me and my words, not just Jesus and not just the teaching, but Jesus and his word, they go together. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, adulterous because it's the Old Testament idea of adultery, that is following other gods. And we are not to have ourselves as our own gods, so that in moments where we're under pressure, we just do what is in our best interest and we forget God's honor. That's adultery, spiritual adultery. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. And remember, when he says he comes in the glory, he's talking about the future. And this is the same Jesus who in verse 31 predicted he would suffer many things, be rejected, be killed, and rise again, and it all happened. Guys, he is coming back. Are we ready? Are we serious about heaven? The road to easier life in this world is the road to hell. You can't read the Gospels and teach that real faith means no suffering and great wealth and happiness now. There may be some, and it doesn't mean that wealth is sinful. But you've got to have a heart beating for the Gospel and for Christ. Lord, may I do your will, strengthen me. The Son of Man is returning and all heaven's angels will be with him to judge our sinful world. Read Mark 13:24 following. Eternal glory or eternal wrath awaits us. Will Jesus own us as his own, or will he be ashamed of us because we've been ashamed of him? The rest of your life and my life from this point on will determine the answer to that. May God write these truths upon our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.